This is a podcast from Minute Media. I still believe through the cold and through the heat, through the rain and through the tears, through the crowds and through the cheers.
And we're recording.
Happy resuming the podcast.
Just before I forget to do it, welcome back to the Dogs of War podcast. If you're listening today, it comes out. It is Friday, January 21st in the year of our Lord, the year of Evan Mobley, 2022. This is Kevin along with
an emotionally crushed Raleigh. But I'm on the upswing. I'm on the mend. We're on the mend.
Yeah. And people, you know, we've been talking about mental health a lot this year in like all seriousness. The reason we didn't have an episode last week is for that very reason, folks. Sometimes everyone needs a break. And I'm still saying after this, we all need to take like a 2-week break from everything.
Yeah.
Everyone, players, coaches, fans, everyone. Just we're all just going to dial it back for a month, maybe.
Yeah. It's we have a bunch of life lessons that apply to Browns fans to make sure that we never do things again. And I'm like, dude, does talking about mental health while also being a Browns fan, I feel like that shit doesn't add up.
They go hand in hand. But hey, real quick, side note, as we were getting on, I saw something pop up on Twitter. What is this Wordle thing?
Oh, real? I was about to text you. Okay.
What? I don't get it. I just see a bunch of blocks with colors. Like, is it a game?
I can't believe you asked me that.
Is it an art contest?
If I didn't know what it was, dude, did recording just start?
No.
Okay. I can't believe you asked me that, cause I just started playing it. So it's like a word game where you're trying to guess a 5-letter word and you get, I think, 6 guesses. Basically you type in whatever word, say, it's a freaking 5-letter word. Apple. It's, I don't think it's 5 letters, but
it is
it is APPLE. Hit enter. And it's like a color code. Okay. It's a dark, like, if there's no A in it, the A is shaded black. If there's no P in it, P is shaded black. But let's say the E, if it's a yellow color, that means there is an E in the word, but you put it in the wrong slot. Then a green color means you put it in the rest.
Okay.
And it's like, it's kind of like a deduction or a process of elimination, logic, whatever you want to call it, which I've been crushing it. But I'm also like, are you supposed to get it every time? Or I'm not sure how hard or how.
Well,
I'm undefeated. But
I went to is it an app or is it a website?
You just go to Google Wordle. But the kind of the cool thing about it is you can only do it once a day. So it's not like you can be totally addicted to it, like playing Tetris or something. So it's like a methadone for app. Well,
fortunately, I went to an elite university, the University of Dayton. So I'll probably be the best Wordle player there is. But speaking of mental health, do we want to just go right into Malik since we're on the topic?
Yeah, that's
a couple things. First things first. All right, we're talking about Malik McDowell. He was arrested in Florida for allegedly, well, it's on video. He's butt naked, charging at cops. He had some kind of, no one knows what happened. It was obviously some kind of mental breakdown here. I will say before we get into this though, it's a serious matter, but I legit, one of the first things that came to my mind after I was like, oh man, this guy needs help, is we haven't had a crazy story like this. I'm not counting the Odell drama nonsense, this offseason stuff, in a while.
You're going to say some, yes, that's true. That is people have been messaging me or texting, oh, you just did something, like post a meme on Malik McDowell. I'm like, no.
There's nothing you can post.
That's such a,
nothing horrible, you can post
truly
on that.
Really sad thing. And I don't know if it meant.
I mean,
health,
that. I'm not saying you.
Been,
I mean, everyone.
Yeah, I know. It could have been substance abuse, whatever it was. It's like the guy's a human being. I think the most heartbreaking thing about it is the guy was in jail or prison, like either extended jail time or
the 9 months. Allegedly, I understand. I could be wrong. He did 9 months in jail before he came to the Browns.
Okay. So that's what I heard, something along the lines of that. unfortunately, in this day and age, like when you go to jail or prison, there's not a whole lot of people that get like a second chance to get a real career that doesn't leave you in poverty. It's incredibly rare. And this guy had one with the Browns and he played well for them. And to see this happen, it's just really sad. And you hope the best for him. And I'm hoping he can find his peace. You know, I'm not saying that, oh, give him another chance on the team, because I don't think that playing in the NFL necessarily what is good for the young
that's
guys.
That's far down on his list right now.
It should be. And we hope. I hope the Browns organization can step up and, like, not say keep him on the team, but try to look after him, get him the help he needs. I think that would be a good way to lead by example.
I think we can have, and again, I don't know the obligations and whatnot from if he's even on contract anymore, but I agree. I hope the same thing, of course. You got to think that just with the culture they're trying to build in that facility that they have been building the last few years, that there would be some, you know, olive branch extended with resources either from the team or from the NFL in general. But yeah, I mean, you know, of course some people are going to say, oh, he's naked running around. Guys, it was in broad daylight, what, during the week? TMZ put out a video of him allegedly at the gym an hour before, looking fine, just working out. So for that to have something obviously very, very abnormal happen. And I hope that he gets the help he needs, honestly, obviously. Because, yeah, he was in jail. He came back, made the team, hadn't played football in, 4 years? Balled out, didn't have an all-pro year or anything, kind of slipped towards the second half, but whatever. He still
better than we did in the NFL.
Yeah, we never went there. He had a chance to come back for another year, maybe. But yeah, it's sad. It's just really sad. It's really all you can say.
But in the spirit of trying to lift up the spirits, as you mentioned, that is the first insane story we've had at the Browns in a while. So silver linings, I guess. So let's talk about the goddamn season that's finally over.
Thank God. Thank God. Hey, do you care about the Bengals win? I mean,
I thought it was nice to beat Cincinnati twice. I used to pray that, like, Lord, I don't care what happens this season. Just let us beat the Bengals twice. And we did. Granted, you know, it was kind of our backups versus their backups. But I think it's good to go into the off season for the team to go into the off season coming off of a win.
Yeah.
They didn't make the playoffs, but they won their last game. Whatever.
Whatever. We beat Cincinnati's third stringers. I too enjoy beating them, sweeping them twice. I think we're 6-1 since Baker started playing quarterback for us against them. I like beating little brother, even the little brothers in the playoffs right now. And looking good. Almighty, Burrow and Chase are a problem, and they're going to be a problem for a long time. And if Burrow ever gets an offensive line, he has a very strong chance. I'm not splitting any atoms here of winning multiple MVPs in this league. Like, that's the trajectory this kid's on. He's special.
Yeah. So hopefully we can just keep dominating with some type of mental little brother.
And again, it goes back to, it sucks because still on paper, and we've learned, and we're going to go into what we mean by this. We've learned 2 years in a row now that paper doesn't mean shit. But still, it's hard not to look at our roster and then look at the Steelers, the Ravens, Bengals, and on paper, our roster is still the best team. Yeah. And we once again saw that it doesn't mean shit, but you still look at it, you're like, ah, what could have been?
Yeah, I mean, it just sucks. You got a hurt quarterback, and it was really, the team never really adjusted on the offensive side of the ball. The defense, hats off to them. They adjusted.
Yeah.
But it was a freaking dogfight of a year. Like, yeah, did they come out on top? No. But the teams that did make the playoffs, like the Bills look unstoppable. That
insane.
First game.
The first perfect offensive game ever.
It's like, dude, they went in, what, 10 and no. 7 or 9 and.
Yeah, 10 and 7. No, touchdown, no punts, no turnovers, no. Touchdowns every drive. It was incredible to watch that game.
Yeah, there were a lot of teams. The Browns were in the hunt until the end, you know, and there was a lot of teams that look incredible that came in with a couple more wins than him, which is, you know, that's how it works in the NFL. The margins are slim, but it's not like there was some team that just dominated everything, and it was a dogfight. They got dicked around with ridiculous injuries, COVID, and, you know, shit happens. But
I don't we got punched in the mouth this year many times. I think this was the worst season I've ever had as a fan. I think a lot of people say that. It just kept, it never got better. It just kept getting worse. I mean, I would.
That's not true. There were some like roller coasters.
One in 15, 0-16 were more fun than this last year was. Back to what you're saying though, when the Bills, these other teams, obviously it takes talent, two, takes chemistry, and then you got to get just good luck with no injuries, man. And I am not, and I know you're not either. There's no excuses for this past season. Teams go through all kinds of shit in different ways, but. And this is going to get more into the quarterback conversation about, you know, one, our quarterback was playing with one arm the entire year. We had two games where more than half the starters are out with COVID. Kareem was out. Chubb, it was just a nightmare. We lost our all-pro tackle. Nothing went right this year. And that's the game. That's the NFL. That's what happens to teams. And it's season in and season out. It happened to us this year, and it sucks, but there's no excuses for it. Just, damn.
Yeah, it's almost funny. So you get to a point where you just got to laugh about things.
Oh, or I'll cry.
Who was the who did they play before the Raiders?
With the Ravens. We won.
Okay. Beat the Ravens. There. Yeah. Go into like, okay, boys, let's get it going. And then it was just like oh, that was the worst loss ever, followed by that was the worst loss ever,
Christmas
followed
by was ruined.
God, that was the worst freaking loss ever.
Steelers game wouldn't end. That was a death march.
The Steelers end was just, kill me now. But silver linings, I enjoyed watching the Steelers get their asses kicked in the playoffs.
That was something else.
That was something special. And so like on the meme account, Angry Browns Fans, I'm like, well, what kind of content could I post now in this trying times? And it's really just been kind of roasting the Steelers, which is when you get swept by a team and you don't make the playoffs and they do, I realize that that's petty, but I also realize it's fun and funny.
Yeah.
And the comments from these kids like, oh, the Browns didn't even make the playoffs. I was like, shut up, Tanner. Your dad didn't make parole.
Jesus Christ.
I said that once, and it felt really good.
I enjoyed that. So did you watch Andrew Berry's press conference, his year-end address?
I read it and listened to clips of it. I didn't listen to the whole thing.
You can't have it both ways. I'm talking of just Browns fans in general. I fall for it too, but I'm just my perspective here. Barry and Stefanski don't say a goddamn word, regardless of the topic. We could win the Super Bowl, and they would still say more or less the exact same shit they said in their press conferences at the end of the season. They don't say anything. So you can't say that all year round and be like, oh, they never tell us anything. And then after this last one, then be like, They didn't say much about Baker. They didn't say much about next year. Like, that must mean something. Like, no. I'm not saying it doesn't, but you cannot say it does because that's how they are all the time.
I know. And I'm also – I don't know how I'm feeling about that. Like, if they say one thing – it's a tough spot to be in. I'm not saying that their job is easy because obviously it's not. But it's like, well – I don't want them to say things that can reveal strategy or give the Browns some type of disadvantage, the opposite of a competitive advantage. But I'm also like, shit, you got to tell me something to get me thinking that you're thinking the right way, you know? And that's, I try to evaluate what guys say fairly, which fucking irrelevant. I mean, we have a podcast. It's not like we're making calls for what they should or shouldn't do with the roster. But
someday.
I'm like, there's no way that they just say that shit to Haslam, or who do they report to? Dee Podesta? Or
I don't know if they're directly. I don't even know how the org is anyway. They've switched it around a few times, but yeah, let's say they go into Depot.
Yeah. And I'm just like, well, if you're telling him the stuff that makes sense, that he's got faith in you, that's what I want to hear. However, I don't necessarily care about Haslam's opinion. I just want him to stay as far away from things as possible. My frustration is it didn't look like there were a lot of adjustments that were made throughout the offense, and saying that we need to do better while it's like, I would have rather seen them try to do something else and then get their asses kicked for it and be like, well, we tried that, that didn't work, and then do something else. But I don't know, man, it was frustrating, and that did not help the frustration level.
No, and a lot of things went wrong this year. Obviously, Baker didn't play great. That's no surprise. He'll be the first one to tell you that. And like you said, there was no visible adjustments made to some decisions that are super questionable. You know, when you figure out that a team has no passing game at all, you're going to throw 9 or 10 guys in the box every time to stop the only thing we do have. So it doesn't take a genius to make that analysis right there. Things just never changed up. I am going to be very, very, very curious to see the rest of this offseason going into next year if Stefanski will give up play calling to AVP. I think Stefanski's, and I've said this the last 20 episodes, well, last two, he would just be such, with how cerebral he is, him as just the CEO on the sideline. Now, people don't understand, Belichick doesn't call defensive plays. McDaniels does, right? Belichick doesn't call offensive plays. McDaniels does, yes. But if you don't think that he has the final say in his headset to override a play call, you're nuts. Head coach can override anything. It's not like Stefanski's never going to have his ears on it or a chance to like override anything. That's not how it works in the NFL. So he would still have, you know, veto control over something like that. I just want to see what he'd be like as a CEO head coach. That's all.
Me too. I mean, and it's not a knock against Stefanski. It's like your CEO should never be also the sales manager. I don't know. Is that a real analogy?
I get what you're saying, but yeah, CEO, whatever. CEO.
Yeah. It's like, dude, just if the guy calling plays should be all they think about is play calling. That should be their full-time job. And then making adjustments week to week. You communicate it to Stefanski. Let him know whatever needs to be done. But then that should be all they're thinking about. Stefanski, in my opinion, should be doing something addressing the goddamn pre-snap penalties, because there were a lot of them.
That's got to get cleaned up. Oh, my God. Was that – again, I said this before. I think my least favorite memory of this season is 12 men, timeout, 12
again,
men. Yeah.
Again and again.
Can we? Can I address the Baker situation?
Yeah,
because this is just going to be. Yeah, I mean, well, first of all, let's successful surgery.
Yeah.
Glad to hear. Glad to see. We'll get to that in a minute. But this Baker Bros thing that's all over the internet and has been there the last several months. This has gone so far past and beyond who should be the Browns quarterback moving forward. We're in another stupid civil war in Cleveland, perpetuated by both sides on Twitter. But it's not even about football anymore. It's at the point now where each side just wants to be able to say, told you so, if Baker's here next year or not. It's petty bullshit from both sides. It's like watching those political battles where one person gives an opinion, another person disagrees, the person who gave the original opinion screams, calls him an idiot, and then runs away, rinse and repeat. And it's nonstop on Twitter. It's so far away from football. It's just about people wanting to be right. Baker hasn't been Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady his first four seasons. I'll remind you again, he's had three or four different coaches, coordinators, and this entire season minus one game, he was playing with one arm, right? It's funny. It's ironic. The people that are out here calling Baker supporters Baker Bros are the ones that sound like idiots. I mean, if supporting a dude who is currently the starting quarterback of my team, a dude who said before the draft that he wanted to come to Cleveland and has brought some stability to the organization in our first playoff berth and win since, I don't know, World War II. If that makes me a Baker bro, if that makes you a Baker bro, then I'm captain of the Baker Bros, man. But first and foremost, I'm a fucking Browns fan. Like, if cheering for the quarterback is now wrong to some people in Cleveland, you know, God help you.
Yeah, you're doing great. Keep going.
No, I'm just – all that being said, and I know, you know, as soon as we put this out, I guarantee and I can already call out who's going to do it. I'll get called the Baker bro in my DMs, and the people will continue just to say, look at the stats, and then run away without even knowing what they're talking about. Not everyone, I'm just saying most. We live in an era where 99.99999% of folks just repeat headlines or tweets from other people they see to make themselves feel like they're contributing their own original intelligent thoughts. Big disclaimer, let me stop here. I'm in no way, shape, or form saying you're wrong or dumb if you're out on Baker, right? There's plenty of viable reasons why someone could make an intelligent argument, and I'll respect that. I don't look down on someone or think you're an idiot or will call you an idiot because they want someone else at quarterback. I'm saying there's very few people right now or the last year that actually give a real reason besides he was bad this season, blah, blah, blah. Baker's been inconsistent. He'll be the first to admit it. But unless Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady are walking through that door, I ain't going to start cheerleading for a Cousins or a Jimmy G or Derek Carr. Don't get me wrong. I like all those quarterbacks. They're good quarterbacks. But the difference in talent isn't big enough, if at all, to rock the boat like that. Baker is an idiot. That's pretty obvious. He knows he's got to step it up. He said that himself. And
Did you say he's an idiot?
No, I said he ain't no idiot. He knows he's got to step it up. He said that himself a million times. And he's never once done anything to make us think that he won't be going 200% at that. Also, that being said, I don't have an answer to what we do if we start off slow next season, because I don't want to assume or even imagine that's the case. You folks have already convinced yourself that we're back in the bowels of the NFL again, are just going to be in for a very long summer, regardless of next season's eventual outcome. What else did I want to say? People go, oh, so then you want the team to suck next year then? Absolutely not. I'm the team, first and foremost. Hey, I'm trying to win me a bowl. I've said that a million times. I can't guarantee Baker will be an all-pro next season just as much as you can't guarantee he won't. And you can point to the first half of last year, blah, blah, blah. But who knows what would have happened this year if he didn't lose his arm week fucking two. That's a monster factor that people don't think holds much weight, but it does. We've talked about this a million times. I trust AB to make the right decision. I don't envy his job this summer at all. I'm going to be cheering for whoever's under center next year, just as hard as I cheer every other year because we're Browns fans. The Civil War is so petty, so stupid. Last thing, I'm sorry, I'm going on a long one here. The surgery video that he put out after his surgery yesterday, to all you people overanalyzing this shit, like, I don't care if you love the guy or if you hate the guy. Here's a fact. If you're analyzing the clothes a guy is wearing while still clearly loopy and sitting in the hospital post-surgery, you need Jesus or a hobby. I have a lot of hobbies, all right? DM me. I will help you find one your own. That's it. I'm taking a breath.
That was a lot more prepared than I was to do a rant, Kevin, but that was really good.
No, I've been there. I just got to get it off my chest. That's been percolating for a few weeks.
Everything you said was, I agree with entirely. And said you don't want Baker as a quarterback, that's fucking fine. You don't have to. Holy shit, people have lost their touch. I will say this though, I hate acknowledging their voices because I don't want to. It almost like it's like legitimizes them, or like whether it's the clickbaiting, you know, sports analyst guy that just tweets shit. It's like I don't like legitimizing them because at the end of the day,
true,
they have no impact on what's done, you know, what's done behind on the field in the locker room, whatever. But let's say it's 1% of people that hate Baker, 15%, 50, whatever it is. I'm just saying that percentage, in my opinion, I do think it is the minority. They are a vocal ass minority. Social media is so toxic. Like if there's 300 people that hate Baker to death, and in a country of millions, that number is very probable. Those people will be the first person to DM, tweet at him, tweet at his wife, tweet at his family. And it's like, well, I hope they all die a fiery death, but I hope that you as people, and then when you read them, it can infuriate you if you're a human being. It's like, well, at the end of the day, you just got to pray for that person sending those mean tweets that they die in a fiery accident, really. that's a joke. But anyway, Twitter's not real. The internet's not real. Our opinions are irrelevant. just like yours, just like, well, no, Barry's is very opinion. Barry's opinion matters.
He's got a fun summer coming up.
Yeah. But like you said, support the guys who are on your team. It pissed me off last year how everyone just trashed Sendejo. It's like, yeah, he was one of the worst safeties in the league. But guess what? He was also our guy. And they're your guys until you're not. If Baker doesn't play for this team next year, I'll support him. Once a Brown, always a Brown. And he played his heart out for us. Hopefully he will play his heart out for us next year, in my opinion. But people have lost touch. And really hoping this goddamn world doesn't end before the Browns win a Super Bowl. But next week on the Dogs of War podcast, we're going to talk about, one, the playoffs, because, you know, football content. Two, lessons that we learned that can never be repeated as a fan that have inevitably added to this crushing defeat.
We're going to give you a playbook for this next offseason.
Yeah, a playbook on how to go into it healthily, mentally, yeah, whatever.
Physically, spiritually,
emotionally, and
psychologically.
Like, be a part of the solution. Help yourself. Be your best self. Mental health. Yeah.
Sexually. I don't know.
Yeah. So the summer of sexual mental health.
Consensual sexual mental health.
Yeah, whatever.
But yes.
But yes, consensual mental sexual health.
That's all I got. It's Friday. Yeah. If you're listening to this, we don't have an ad this week, but we will, I think, next week. And
should we do a free ad?
We should get free. Oh, it's a free ad. Always Zabo Apparel.
Buy a shirt from Zabo Apparel.
S-Z-A-B-O Apparel.com. Yeah, some of the best Cleveland gear you'll ever find anywhere. And without question, the best prices of any Cleveland gear you'll find anywhere.
Do you have any uncle with like a absurd business that could use a shout out?
None that are like sexy enough to read on a podcast. No offense.
Yeah.
Well, plenty of them make a lot of money doing it, but it's like, I don't even know how to explain what I don't know.
Yeah. I'm trying to.
Yeah. Do you have any friends that anyone on the, I have no idea. Anyway, we'll start finding some. We'll start doing some free shouts.
No. We're going to make them. They're going to pay
small businesses.
Dearly.
Small businesses.
Yeah.
Small startups.
No, they're going to pay too. They're going to pay too because it's a niche.
Hey,
audience.
We're open for business. You get at us in the DMs, we'll give you a fair rate.
Yeah. Actually, if you listen to this, you're like,
local Cleveland businesses. We'll show you the numbers. We have more than just our moms listening now, believe it or not. Hey, speaking of which, appreciate everyone for following along for another year. It's our third season. This truly appreciate one. People who listen, but we got through it together. People listening, you guys are taking a lot of stress off, you know, my therapist because she gets to hear a lot less because I get to dump it out on this channel right here. Yeah, that's all I got.
Yeah. Ah, shit. We got to lead with this next time. If you have any good ideas for things you would like to hear, guests you would like to hear in the off season, DM us, email us at dogsofwarpod@gmail.com.
Yeah, or DOW podcast at Twitter, or Angry Browns fans on Insta. Just there's a thousand ways to get at us.
I like the idea of finding B-list celebrities, C-list celebrities, and talking about Brown stuff with them.
Just hopefully they never listen to this episode. I'm leaving that in.
Yeah. That's like the guy from Mad Max 2, the Road Warrior. That's where Whoever. Dogs of War came from. He was down to be on. He's Australian. Guy's like, he's pretty old.
We're gonna have some random guests this summer. I think
we could just say because that's what we'll do.
We're gonna take our minds off football for a while.
We'll just convert these like C-list actors into becoming diehard Browns fans.
Like Cleveland legends. Yeah, perfect. Yeah, we're going to have a lot of very random topic, fun guests this summer. We're going to just kind of take a break from football as much as we can.
Yeah. Fuck yeah. Sorry, Mom. We may be back on the swearing train. Sorry, Ms. Toledo.
Well, hey, great chat. We'll see you out there. See you next week. For Raleigh, for myself, this is Dogs of War Podcast. Good night, Cleveland.